Hello and welcome to the latest edition of the ALS Association Greater Philadelphia Chapter Podcast. As always, my name is Tony Heil, Director of Communications at the ALS Association Greater Philadelphia Chapter. If you've listened to our past podcasts, you've heard from people like Steve and Charlotte Potter from our last podcast, Matt Bellina, another person living with ALS, and Elisa Brownlee, who talked about assistive technology, and many others who have a wide-ranging perspective on what we do. Today, I'm excited to introduce to you Jen Dungy. I hope I pronounced that right, Jen.
Jen Dungy.
Okay, well, Jen has been writing a lot for us over the past few years about her mother, Sharon, who sadly passed away just a few months ago, and she has her own perspective on what ALS was like for her family and for her personally, and how she was able to use her story, hopefully to help herself and others touched by the disease. Here at the ALS Association, we want to stress the value of sharing your story to not just help others, but to hopefully help yourself as well. As always, you can get involved in our cause and help fight ALS at www.alsphiladelphia.org. Join a walk team at www.gpcwalktodefeatals.org. Or you can go on any of our social media channels from Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and more at ALS Philadelphia. So, as I was saying, Jen is my guest today. And Jen, thanks for agreeing to be part of the podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So you have been involved in these things for a while. Your mother had ALS.
Uh-huh.
Tell me a little bit about your family and your mother and, you know, what ALS meant to you.
My mom got diagnosed with ALS a little over 7 years ago. So it just became something, I guess, that was a difficult journey, but also a very meaningful journey for my family and I. And so that's why I'm here today to talk about all the things that we've experienced along with it.
So he was diagnosed then in like 2007?
Yes.
And so at the time, did you know much about what ALS was?
No, actually, we didn't really know anything at all.
And that's most people, because unless you've had it in your family, people don't know what the disease is. My grandfather had ALS, and I didn't know much about it until he had it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have siblings, right, and other extended family that were affected?
Yes. Throughout our experience with it, I guess I've always said that it affects the entire family, ALS, because it's such a debilitating disease, and it leaves the person unable to complete everyday normal activities. So at first, they were like small things, like for her holding a pen, signing her name, or even cooking. And then eventually, it leaves the person to become totally dependent on their caregivers. So for us, that was my stepdad, who was the main caregiver for my mom, and then my brothers, and then me and some of our extended family. Because eventually it becomes to the point where they need help with even toilet use, bathing, eating, and even just moving just to be comfortable. So it can sometimes, I feel like it sometimes eventually becomes a full-time job for the caregiver. And so there's a lot of instances where the caregiver, the main caregiver, which in our case was my stepdad, would need a break just to, you know, step away from it for a little bit. And so luckily with our family, we had people that could help take turns taking care of our mom, so that my stepdad was able to take a break. And another way that it has affected our family is when it comes into living your own life outside of caregiving, and it's easy to become consumed with it. But you also have to remember that you have to go on living too. So upon my mom's diagnosis, the doctors told us that she was no longer allowed to be left alone by herself. So because she couldn't care for her, herself independently anymore. So we were suddenly faced with finding a caregiver to come to the house to take care of her every day. And luckily through, you know, her doctors and the ALS chapter, we were able to get connected with places that would help us find a caregiver. But even in that, it's so hard to find the perfect person to care for your loved one. So for us, it did take a few weeks, I would say, before we could find the perfect person to take care of our mom that we felt comfortable leaving her with every day, and then we're able to go back to work. And then once that was all set, it was a little bit easier. Like I said before, my mom had three kids, me and my twin brother, and then our younger brother, Pat. And we all found that our lives definitely had to change, especially because our stepdad was unable to leave the house at all on weeknights or weekends without one of us there to care for our mom. So we were able to take turns to help, and you know, just so he could do little things like just going to the grocery store or just have a night out with his friends. So I think more often than not, our lives are sort of became centered around our mom. But I think that was also a good thing for us, because it was a way to help us become a lot closer.
Yeah, and a few people I've talked to have expressed similar views about that ALS is tough, but it brings a family closer together. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about your family. I know you mentioned your siblings and your mom and stepdad, but what were the ages of everybody when your mom was diagnosed? Because one of the things I know from talking to you in the past was a lot of family things that happened during those 7 years.
Yeah, I think that I was probably, my brothers and I were probably in our middle 20s when she was first diagnosed. So there was some special things that were happening in our lives. My brothers both got married a couple years ago, and then started to have kids. So we did have those special moments with her that I thought were really great to have with our family. And again, I just think that it just helped to bring us much, much closer. Because me and my brothers have helped each other to stay strong throughout the whole journey that we had with our mom. And I also just think that those types of things, like my brother's getting married and my younger brother dancing with my mom at his wedding, even though she was in the wheelchair, I thought those things became magical moments and magical memories, and instead of just a great memory, it was sort of magical, especially for my brother that day, because we weren't sure if she would even be there for something that special, and then we were so lucky to be able to have those special moments. And then especially for her, it was great to get to hold her first grandchild, Dylan, and then a few months after that, she was able to hold her twin granddaughters in both arms at the same time. So she was so proud of herself that she was able to see her grandchildren and experience the treasures that they were.
Yeah, and you can't put a price tag on that. Before we go further, I just want to let people know that if they hadn't gone to these pages before, you'll be able to find some of these pictures on our website where this podcast is hosted at alsphiladelphia.org/podcast. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to put those pictures up on our Facebook page. I know when I shared a couple of those pictures in the past on our page, they became some of the most viewed and shared things, because I think so many people can identify with that kind of family connection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's just one of the great things that I think I know ALS is not a good disease to have, but if there is something positive that can come from it, it's something like that, where those moments became something that we treasured, that we also, because I think a lot of people sometimes take for granted moments and special things that they have in their life, but if you have something like this going on in your life, you know that each moment that you have and all the time that you have is very, very special, because you don't know how long, you know, you do have with that person. So in a way, we were lucky because we were able to share those moments. And just because upon her diagnosis, she was only given six months to a year to live. So for her to make it past 7 years, and then to actually see her sons get married and her first three grandchildren, it was so amazing, and we're very, very thankful that she got to be there for those moments.
So that gives you a valuable perspective with having a person with ALS. Does that change your perspective on life overall then? Do you think that your way you view life and your other relationships has changed as a result from where it would have been?
Yeah, I definitely think it does. Especially with everything that happened with our mom this past year and her passing away in December. And I remember a lot of people were talking to my brothers and I, and they were saying, you know, you guys are so strong. I can't believe you guys are, you know, doing so well. And, you know, I think it's because we've been through this, and we've gone through this journey with her, together. And I think it made us all stronger. Even my mom, even though her body was weakening, she was still, you know, trying to fight and trying to hold on to every little thing that she could still possibly control. And it definitely does. It makes you see things more positively in life and appreciate, you know, just everyday life and be happy for the things that you can do.
Yeah. So she was able to do a lot of things because of all of you. And I hope that our chapter was able to help along the way with our services.
Mm-hmm. There was many services that the Greater Philadelphia chapter was able to provide us, from equipment to just dealing with the diagnosis of ALS for our mom. And I always remember the very first visit that we spent there with my mom, and they said to us, we're the nicest group of people that you never wanted to meet. And I think that that's so true, because they just realize what, you know, a hard battle this is with ALS, so they try to make it as easy and comfortable for not only the person that's struggling with it, but the family too. And they were so quick to inform us and to help understand what to expect with the disease. I felt like no sooner had she been diagnosed with it, they began to send us immediately equipment that we needed to help make her comfortable, to help her with the disease. And so we were given wheelchairs and Hoyer lifts, breathing machines, communication devices, ramps for our mom's house, and they even had someone come out and help design a special wheelchair, you know, that would be able to help her be the most comfortable in the wheelchair. So, and they even did little things like helping us pick out the right pillows for her, or giving us menus of food that she could eat without chewing, and that just kind of helped us with dealing with the shock of the diagnosis and making it, like, easier for us to handle, because at that point we understood the disease, so we figured the only thing that we really could do to make her was to make her life comfortable and try to keep her happy. So I think that the staff there just, they really helped to make sure that if you're forced to deal with the disease, that it can be as comfortable as possible.
So those services aren't even just about the medical part of it, that you can say, well, this device does this medical need, like helps you ambulate or helps you eat, but it's about keeping you and the whole family a bit calmer and mm-hmm. comfortable, like, and not just her more comfortable, but like, it's a very stressful situation for everybody. And it helps mm-hmm. in those matters, too.
Yeah. And they even have the social worker. I remember a few times that I would just call just to discuss the stresses that I was feeling, and the stresses that we had with our family. Like, anything little, they were able to talk to you about it and try to find ways that they could help you even just mentally to get through it.
Yeah, so there's a lot of things that people don't know about ALS, and the Ice Bucket Challenge happened, and it raised awareness for the disease, but people didn't realize how that big impact that it has on the person mm-hmm. and the whole family, and that's part of our job, and I guess part of your job, too, though, you know, mm-hmm. you're volunteering your time with this, is to make people understand all that's out there.
Yes.
So, go ahead.
With the ice bucket challenge, I just thought that was one of the best things that that I've seen, because it made the outlook on things on, for me, it made my outlook on things going viral change, because there's so many things that go viral and they're just meant to make you laugh or just to share something, but when it came to something like this, it was something that was going to raise awareness to something that was so important to us, and I thought that was so beneficial. And I remember the bucket challenge when it first started, I thought that it was just cool because I saw it on the news, and then I was happy because it was so true that so many people did not know what ALS was. They might have heard of Lou Gehrig's disease, but they didn't know, you know, the other name ALS, and then they also just didn't know anything about it. So as the challenge grew and grew, I remember hoping that I would get to do it, and then I finally got nominated to do it, and a few of my other family members also were challenged around the same time, so we all completed the challenge together at one of our cousins' parties. So it was just another like beautiful moment that we got to have all together, trying to raise awareness and hope for our mom. And as the challenge continued, then I remember there was people talking about it everywhere we went. And there was this one time that I went to Panera Bread with my fiance, and there was a family that was sitting in the same section as us, and they were talking about the ice bucket challenge, and the wife was telling the husband all about it, and then they were planning on doing it later that day with their children. And I remember thinking how amazing that was, that they didn't even know that I was sitting just a table away from them, and that their conversation and their actions was so touching to me, mm-hmm. and to other people too, with families of ALS. So it was kind of neat, and I was just so happy when celebrities started to do it, because when the celebrity takes on a cause, then it becomes even bigger. And I remember I would show my mom the videos of her friends, our family, and even celebrities that completed the challenge. And I remember showing her the one challenge was her actual ALS doctor, Dr. Elman.
Yeah.
And she would smile, and I would tell her how I would tell people how inspired she was, that these videos gave her kind of a new sense of encouragement, and it came just at the right time, because there's many times throughout the disease that, at least with my mom, I'm sure it does happen to the other people with ALS too, that they just kind of have some ups and downs, because, you know, not being able to do anything without help from someone else can kind of sometimes make you feel sad. So those types of things she would have every once in a while where her spirits would be low. And then when it seemed like for us, the ice bucket challenge came at just the right time, and it was able to help bring her spirits back up. And then I would talk to her, and I would tell her, okay, mom, all this money is going to help people just like you. And it's just so amazing. And she would just be so happy, and she would just smile. It was so great.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And it's one of the things I liked most following it here is it wasn't just the money raised, but it's just the spirits that were raised for people going through such a difficult time. You can't put a price tag on how that can make mm-hmm. somebody feel.
Yeah, it definitely helped. It definitely made her excited and a lot more positive, and it gave her the strength to try to keep on fighting.
So one of the things that you did over the past few years was you helped raise awareness of ALS before the Ice Bucket Challenge, writing on our website and sharing stories with me that I would put on Facebook and whatnot. And I think that a lot of people like that. Did you find that cathartic and helpful to you, not just to read other people's stories, but to be able to share your own?
Yeah, I definitely think that is something that became such a great thing for me to do, because I had a lot of stress and sadness, just, you know, dealing with the disease and watching everything that was happening to my mom. So it was a really tough thing for me in itself. But I think that definitely was able to help me just to kind of even put a different perspective on it, for me and try to find the things that were positive in it and not always think of, like, how sad it was.
So you would you encourage other people to continue sharing their stories as well?
Yeah, I think I definitely would, because even with the last story, I think that I shared was a picture of my mom holding her twin granddaughters, and just the people that write to comment on the things that you write are encouraging enough, and also then I would share that with my mom, and I would say to her, you got so many likes on this on this picture on Facebook, and she would just laugh. I'm like, everybody loves your picture, and so it was encouraging for her, and she liked to hear the stories too. So it kind of became something that was special for our entire family, because I would take those special moments and write them down and share them, and then we would all get together and I would show it to everybody, or we would read it together, and it was just it really is kind of therapeutic.
Well, that's something we hope to provide. I mean, I don't qualify as patient services necessarily, but in my role as communication director, but I like to think that through communication, we can give people some catharsis, give people some release, whether it's the person with ALS or it's the caregiver. Now, did your mom have issues with communicating? I know that speech is often an issue with ALS.
Yes. Right before she got diagnosed. For the last 7 years, her speech became really slurred. And so it became more and more difficult for her to communicate. We were able to understand her a little bit better because we were always around her. But if our friends or people that hadn't seen her for a while would come around, it was very difficult for her to communicate. So sometimes she would get frustrated about it. We would just try to encourage her that, you know, everybody wants to talk to you, and they don't care. And then she kind of got used to it, and she would still try to communicate with us.
Yeah. Well, one of our issues in Washington right now is making sure people have access to speech-generating devices and other communication tools, and listening to you and how important communication was both for your mom and for your whole family. It just stresses how important that is, that everyone's able to get the resources they need through insurance or Medicare or us to be able to share their story, or even just to say hello or I love you.
Right. And I think it's important just and even for them, because the disease is taking away so much from them as it is. So if they're still able to communicate, I think that gives them a sense of normalcy. I know that my mom used to always just say she knew she had the disease. She knew there was no way that it was going to go away, but she would always just say, I wish I could still talk. If I could just talk, then I would feel better. And when she said, could I just talk? I mean, it was slurred, but she wanted to talk like how I am. She said that would make her feel a lot better.
Yeah. And so I think that's one of those things that people don't understand about ALS. And I'm sure you encountered through your time a lot of people who didn't know much about ALS. What do you think you want people to know about this disease as they are starting to gain more awareness of it?
I think one of the first things that I want people to realize is that each person's battle with ALS or journey with ALS is completely different. I remember going to the doctors in Philadelphia with my mom, and there's other patients there, and almost every single one of them has a different way that the disease was affecting them at different times. Some people, it starts with slurred speech, and other people, it starts with not being able to walk, or they trip and fall. And some people, in my mom's case, she started with just tripping and falling, and then eventually, later on, that's when she wasn't able to walk or talk. And also that I think that I want people to know that there's a downside and an upside to what people don't realize about ALS. The downside is that I don't think that they realize that ALS does not just affect the person, that it affects the family across the board. There's a difference between, to me, there's a difference between people just doing a nice bucket challenge to support it for one day, and then the intense struggle that the person that has to go through the with the disease every single day. So it's important to remember that the entire family of the person is affected, and not just the person. And the reason that is because the person will eventually become completely dependent on others to complete their activities from day to day. And obviously, that's what the family wants to do, but it's also very sad because you're not given the chance to watch them get better, and you start to notice different things that are weakening within your loved one. And I know I had days where I would be talking to my mom while holding back tears because, you know, I didn't want her to see that I had fear in my heart because I noticed something, you know, was progressing with her disease. And so those days I could barely make it out the door before I would start to let the tears out. But I also want people to know that there is an upside to it. And although it may not seem like it because it is a very, very difficult disease, there's a lot of positives that come from it. And one of them is that like I said before, that it brings the family so much closer. And my family's always been close, but dealing with this and dealing with the disease with my mom, I think that we're so much closer now. And I think I'm especially a lot more closer to my two brothers. And we've become closer and just help each other to be strong throughout everything that we've been through with this. And another positive about the disease is the appreciation that you do have for those special moments that you get to spend with the person. And like I said before, I don't think that people on a daily basis remember to appreciate and cherish each moment that they have. But then when you have a person with ALS in your life and you know that their time may be shorter, then you know that you have to hold on to those moments and make them special. And
yeah, I think that. Then, sorry.
Yeah.
No, think that's okay. I think it's great that you have created this great perspective on just life in general that's come out of this, and that you can see that in other diseases and other things as well, I imagine. So now mm-hmm. you have this perspective. So maybe when you see other people going through struggles, whether in a wheelchair or, you know, maybe they're just having a tough day in life, mm-hmm. I'm sure that this kind of situation makes you more empathetic to what they're going through.
Yes, it definitely does.
So there's a lot of ups and downs, and, you know, I guess we would say more downs than ups because it is a deadly disease, but
mm-hmm.
I'm hopefully let you have some things to look forward to in the next year. Do you have some reasons to feel hopeful or ways that you want to continue to be involved?
Yeah, actually, I am looking forward to getting married this year. I'm actually getting married in June. And so
June is a great month for things. That's my birthday, so I'm a big fan of June.
So and what's even more special about the fact that I'm getting married in June is that my mom, even though she passed away in December, she still had her hand in my engagement and my wedding. So she knew that she only had a few weeks to live, and then my boyfriend, when he had a spare moment to talk to her alone, he asked her for permission to marry me, and at first she kind of jokingly said no, and then she said yes, and I thought that was funny because she kept her sense of humor all the way to the end. It was like she wasn't going to let that go. If ALS was going to take everything from her, she was still going to be silly and joke around and be stubborn. But then later that day, her and my stepdad decided that if he was going to propose to me, that it would be great if he did it with her engagement ring.
Wow.
So 2 weeks after she passed away, my boyfriend proposed, and I kept saying to him, I kept looking at the ring, and I kept going, oh my gosh, it looks just like my mom. How did you find a ring that looks just like my mom? And I didn't realize, and he's like, that's because it is hers. So I was like, oh. So, you know, then I just started crying because I was amazed that she said my mom could make my moments so special when she wasn't even actually there. So today I get to wear her ring, and I'm reminded of her each day, and I feel like she's with me when I wear the ring, and I know that she'll be smiling down on June 20th when I get married this year.
Well, now you know she'll be with you forever. And what? I'm sorry.
Oh, and I just look forward to doing more things. When it comes to ALS, I look forward to finding out, you know, more information, things that happen, things that come from the Ice Bucket Challenge, and just still participating in the blogs and things like that.
Well, if people can continue to be involved, you know, through fundraising, through the Walk to Defeat ALS. You can start registering your team today and all year long at gpcwalktodefeatals.org. I think I've seen you guys at the Greater Philly Walk before.
Yes, I've done those too.
And that's great to be able to get some community support there. Have you seen some good support from the events you've attended? Nice camaraderie?
Yeah, they're really great. My mom, we went to two of the walks, and my mom, she loved the one at Citizens Bank Park because she was so excited about it, and she had a love for sports. And then she also went to the other, the ALS Philadelphia Meet the Phillies Day. So she was so excited because she got her picture taken with Chase Utley and Ryan Howard. So she was so excited, and she got to meet them, and my brothers were jealous because, you know, she got to go and meet the players. And I said, I always said for something like that, for those types of moments, I felt like for her, it must have seemed in those types of moments that the disease was non-existent at the time. And so I kind of appreciate those things, those events that the ALS chapter holds, because they really do inspire and encourage the person. And just seeing all those people and how many people care and want to support the cause, it's so amazing.
Yeah, the Phillies, their commitment to the cause is so great. The players that you mentioned, Chase and Ryan, you know, they don't just do it because they have to. You can tell they care.
It was so nice, especially Chase. At least I think it was Chase. It was either him or Ryan, but she said that he kneeled down to talk to her. So, you know, because she was in her wheelchair, so then that way it didn't make her feel, you know, he made her still feel special. He kneeled down to talk to her, and it wasn't like he was looking down on her. So she was just over the moon. She was so happy. We still have her picture and with him in her room in a frame.
Wow. Well, that's something that you can't put a price tag on. People don't realize when they see the Phillies, if it's your first time going as a fan, you don't realize that this is something that's a 30-plus year commitment, and that the players really, they get it. You know, not that other athletes aren't great, but when a person like Chase kneels down like that and talks to you as a person, that's because they understand what this disease is and what they're going through.
Yeah, that's amazing. And then another thing was we did our own benefit for my mom one time because she needed some other things that we couldn't get from insurance and things like that. So we ended up having a basket raffle benefit, and so it was really nice because we planned it, and it ended up becoming a great teamwork activity for our family and friends to help us. And even I'm a teacher, and I teach first grade, and even my students helped make decorations to hang around for the benefit. So it was a good team effort for us. And then also, we ended up having over 20 baskets donated by friends, family, and local businesses. And then the attendance of the benefit was over 200 people, so it was amazing. And I remember in that type of moment, it was the same thing, just looking around and seeing all those people there that were, you know, had hope for my mom. It was unbelievable. And it was really neat because through the development of the benefit, I ended up discovering that the symbol for ALS awareness was the sunflower, which happens to be my mom's favorite flower. So I thought that was really neat too. And then there was a quote that I found that said, keep your face to the sunshine and you cannot see the shadow. It's what sunflowers do. And I think that that's important for people with ALS, as well as their caregivers, and all the people that help to work to feed this disease each day. Because just like that disease, I felt that the benefit that we held and all the other things that happened, for my mom was a way to encourage her, to continue in the fight and to, see that she could still have hope, despite the fact that she was struggling each day with it. And then we ended up raising over $6,000 to help my mom. And it was just great to see how many people cared about her. So again, that was another amazing moment that we got to have.
Wow, that's great. And that happened because you shared a bit of your life with other people and let them know about how terrible the disease is, but obviously also how wonderful your mom is and why it was important. And people respond, whether they're the Phillies, whether they're caregiver, whomever. And it's really always inspiring to me to see how many people show up and get involved like that.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So you're going to keep getting involved, and we're going to encourage other people to keep sharing their stories and raise more awareness this summer. And hopefully more people can feel hopeful through the stories that you've shared about your mom and your family and have some of those happy moments. That's our goal together, I think.
Yes, I hope so, too.
Well, Jen, thanks so much for sharing your story. And you can continue to share your stories with us. And then anyone else that's listening, you can share your story with me or find out more about this podcast and how you can get involved at tony@alsphiladelphia.org. Jen, as always, I appreciate your time and all your work on this.
Thank you so much.